Lifting Pesach. Now we're back, and we're going to start a new topic. And this is quite a big topic, but it has very interesting understandings, ramifications as we go through. Now the topic we're going to start is Hilchos Mazik. Damages. Well, damages come in all different forms, sizes, and actions. An introduction that there are different categories of damages. One is what we have as human being damages. One is the human being money damages somebody else or his items. All his animals can cause damage. Or he can damage in an indirect way, or something we call gami, which we'll have to explain as we go along. Add the category of fire. You can create a fire, and that is also has halakhas in it. Each has its own individual halakhas. And therefore we'll be splitting up and dealing with each category as we go along and explaining the halakhas that come out. So, let us start with a shayla which was asked to Rabbi Eliashiv. Shayla goes like this. We're in yeshiva. We have a room. Reuven, Shimon and Levi sleep in this room as bochrim in the yeshiva. Shimon, Reuven is already sleeping in the room. And Shimon comes in and the light's off. And he doesn't want to turn it on. He doesn't want to disturb Reuven. So he's thirsty. What does he do? Gets hold of a plastic cup. He fills it up with water. Then he decides, before he goes and drinks the water, he's called out of the room by a friend. So he puts down the water in this plastic cup on the table which is in the middle of the room. He puts it down. And he goes out to schmooze with his friend. As Bochum do. They get a bit carried away with their schmoozing at that time of night, and things, it's not a 1 minute discussion, it's a 5, 10, 15 minute discussion. In the meantime, Levi, the other member of the room, walks in. Okay. And he's tired and he wants to go to bed. So he prepares himself for bed, and he takes out his contact lenses, he puts it in a plastic cup with water on the table. Everything's dark, of course. And he goes to bed. Back comes Shimon after his schmooze. And he's still thirsty. He says, oh, I remember. I filled up a plastic cup and put it in the middle. Say, well, fine, you're about it. He takes the plastic cup with water and he drinks it. Right? And he goes to bed. Now we're in the morning. And everyone gets up to rush to go to Shachris. Levi gets up and he's looking for, oh, where's the contact lenses? In the cup, in water, on the table. Sees the cup, sees water, and he doesn't see the contact lenses inside the cup.
Or the water.
Hmm?
Or the water.
No, the other cup has water.
The water. He's got the water.
There were two cups of water there.
Okay. So now, what's going on? Someone had it disappear. And he sees a cup that's empty next to it. And so he starts saying, what's happened over here? So now it gets revealed, after the whole story, what really happens is that Shimon, instead of drinking the glass of a cup of water, he drank a cup of water with the contact lenses, and therefore he consumed the contact
lenses. Was it water or saline solution that he drank?
It was water. Thinking with a notice that he was drinking solution. Okay. So now, the question is Shimon liable to pay for the damages that he caused to Levi's contact lenses? Well, he consumes it.
This is not Mazik, this is Gezel.
It's also mazik. It's saying the called mazik. Every mazik's gezel. What's mazik?
No, gezel. Mazik is you still have the object, but I ruined it. Here,
no,
the
mazik. I can.
It's in his body.
By gezel, I took the object away from you, and now I have it.
No, you don't have it.
I used it, but that's
it doesn't
gezel.
Have an existence anymore.
Still gezel.
It's mazik. He's destroyed it. That's what mazik is. So now, Shaila is, does he have to pay? So the Shaila came to Rabbi Yashin. Before we discuss the ramifications over here, what do you think is the halakh in such a case?
We know Adam is more than Olam. It's always
he's not responsible to expect necessarily contact with a glass of water left on the table.
Responsible for your actions.
Well, does Levi usually leave his contact lenses on the table in a cup of water overnight?
Periodically he does that.
Periodically he does that.
Did Reuven drink the wrong cup?
Yeah.
Or did Levi put the contacts in the wrong cup?
He drank the wrong cup.
So I would think that I forgot who the names are here. Who's the guy
Shimon
that was thirsty?
Shimon drank and Levi is the contact
so
lens.
I would think that if Levi does this on a periodic basis, Shimon is responsible to make sure the cup he's drinking is not one that's potentially contact lens
filled. On a regular basis.
What?
I think even if he doesn't do it on a regular basis.
Why? Because if I left a cup of water table.
No,
I
but there's two.
Cup of water.
Okay, there were two.
He didn't see two cups.
Okay, so
he didn't see two cups. If it's something that's not normal, I'm not responsible to worry about.
I don't know. If you're not taking the same cup, you put the cup over here, and the other cup was probably over here.
No,
they were next to each other in the same spot.
It was dark. He didn't see where it is.
Well, he could have figured out where it was.
Well, why should he bother? If it's something that's not normal, he doesn't have to be choshish. But if it's normal, then I think he has to be choshish.
Why? Maybe there was a cup of glue on the table. I mean, you shouldn't just grab anything that was there.
If I left the plastic cup there and I find the plastic cup there, why shouldn't I grab it?
Okay.
Well, I think if they were.
Okay.
They got
a response. So, firstly, as everyone is saying, this is in the category of the Shiloh, but the Otom, who's damaging. It's not his money that's damaging, it's not his animal that's damaging, and it's not his fire that's damaging. He himself isn't damaging, and therefore we have to look at the situation like this. So, he's a bit of an onus, isn't he?
Well, that depends on whether
he would you find it as an onus. I heard the word onus mentioned a bit. So let us analyze it on the concept that he is a bit of an onus in damaging these contact lenses. What's the halakh of an onus? Says the Gemara in Baba Kama, Adam Muad La'olam. Adam is halakhically considered negligent always. Bein shogeg, bein meisig, whether it was by mistake or purpose. Bein or bein yoshen, whether he was asleep at the time, or whether he was awake at the time, or was sleeping at the time. He's chayv, if he's simus, ein chaver, shivas agimim, b'shalim lezik sholim. If he damages somebody's eyesight or breaks somebody's kelim, he's chayv to pay. Menor neminis, how do you know this? Omer chizkiyah, chizkiyah said. I'm a crow because it's a person. Better tachas, better lechayev ashogi kamezit to make you chayev even if you're was by mistake, just like you were on purpose, you're chayev even if it's by mistake. And more than that, our onus korotzen, and even if it was no negligence involved, it was totally onus, you're still going to be chayev just as if it was on purpose. So we hear that fundamental halakha that if we're talking about the category of Otam and Mazik, you're chayv even if you'll notice. The Beirish Memra, a Gemara, a Mishnah, a Gemara, in Baba Kama of Chizkiyah.
Well, this is Petzah Tachas Petzah is talking about a Chabura. You say the same thing by Hezekiah property?
Yeah, it's going on the Mishnah. The Mishnah is also talking about Shiva's Kalim. Breaking Kalim. So, if Shiva wants to get away without paying because of the tithe, that is an onus. Didn't see anything? Well, I expect anything to see that. That is not a clause which can get you out of paying if we're talking about the category of Otam and Mazik. That's not the reason.
Even if it's a mamish onus, like 100% onus.
That's what it makes. Over here it says our onus corruption.
That's what it seems to make.
But why did it start off with Shogeg and Mezid?
That's the Mishnah. Comes along Chizkiya and adds, not only, don't think the Mishnah just means Shogeg. It's even onus. Onus is even a category which you're going to be hired for. So
and that would seem to imply against what he was saying. I mean, he was saying, well, only if it's reasonable, it should be a problem. The onus would be even if it's not reasonable to expect.
Yes,
it's impossible.
Yeah.
The
shaila is, how does this Mishnah, name of Chizkiya, fit in with a Gemara, which is a Mishnah, a Gemara, which is with the following daf? And this is where I want you to think a little bit. The Mishnah says like this: Hamaniach es kav v'rushus harabim. Somebody puts down his keli, his jug, in the public park. Uba acha v'nisgal ba, and came along and tripped up somebody, the shovra, and he fell on that jug and he broke that jug. He doesn't have to pay for damaging that jug. Why? Says the Gemara. Hoki omra b'marav b'mishmei d'rav Ula. The reason, says Rav Ula, lefi she'en da'kon shel b'nei otom nisponim b'drochim. We don't expect people to look necessarily where they're going. Since we don't expect people to look where they're going, so therefore he didn't look where they're going, and that's why he tripped, and that eventually caused him to fall on that jug and broke it. It's not his fault, because he doesn't expect it to look where he's going, so therefore he's not negligent, and therefore that's why, says Ulla, he's potter. That's why the Mishnah says Ulla, he's potter for bacon, because he's not negligent for tripping up and breaking the jug. He's not negligent. I would say he's pretty negligent, but the Gemara says he's not negligent for tripping up, because it's not normal to look where you're going, so you get tripped up, okay? So he's not negligent for falling over and breaking the jug, okay? But even if you're not negligent, how did he break the jug? Through himself. His body broke the jug. So therefore, he's an Otama Mazik. An Otama Mazik has no excuse from the previous staff of saying, I'm not negligent, I'm honest.
Unless the first guy was
negligent. If you're honest, you're still fired.
The Gemara doesn't say it's because he wasn't negligent.
Like to put something down,
the Gemara doesn't say that.
Fisha ain't dark and they open something.
That's because it's a Borbisha's Rabbin.
Because there's no right to put something down.
It's mamish. Not only is he potter, if he tripped and broke his leg, the other guy would be hived to pay for him. It's mamish more b'shusharabim.
So, at the end of the day,
the first guy.
What's that? What's the reason why you don't have to?
The first guy.
Because it's a more b'shusharabim. So he has to pay him. The other guy.
He doesn't, because he didn't get damaged. He damaged the.
Because a more b'shusharabim is tripping him up, literally.
He didn't trip him up.
He was going to trip.
How did he fall? Because the jug tripped him up?
No, the person leaving the jug there tripped him up.
How did the person fall on the jug? Did the jug make him fall on the jug?
The Borbishus Rabin is always when the person or the animal is going into the boar.
What made him fall?
The jug.
That's not what the Gemara says. There was a paving stone that was slightly up. He didn't see it. He tripped on the paving stone and he fell on the jug, which was a meter in front of the paving stone. And he's potter because he's not expected to see the paving stone, which is up, because Ain Dark is really awesome. He's going to talk him. The jug didn't make him fall. The paving stone made him fall.
It says, but his ball means he fell on the jug.
He fell on the jug and broke the jug. But what makes him trip?
The jug.
No, it's not the jug.
That's what the Gemara sounds
no,
like.
No, not this. No one thinks that.
the jug wasn't there.
Wait, hold on a second. The niskal bar. What's bar referring to?
He tripped
onto it.
What? Not onto it. Niskal means he got tripped by
no.
it.
No.
That's what it means.
Any,
now you want to tell me it's different interpretation?
Not one of the Rishonim has a haver minute to even suggest that's Pshat.
That's not the Gemara's answer. Willa gives a different answer. It's not
because
it's
had,
a bore.
No, because had he been responsible to look for it, then it wouldn't be a bore.
It's because the owner of the jug is negligent himself, and he therefore the other person is not responsible for. Also, there's a person has a right in Shishuravim to walk without looking. He has a special right to walk, and the person who put it down has no special rights.
So what is the release? What's the release of damages?
It's Hefker. And it's Hefker. There's nothing in Rosh Hashanah is Hefker.
Hefker, not Hefker.
Not signed on a... Not Hefker. Not Hefker. Signed name, address, not Hefker.
Okay.
So now see how the Rishonim explain. The Rishonim are bothered by this question. The Rishonim themselves asked the question. One Mishnah, it says, owners, you're chayiv, and here it seems to be saying, that's not your fault, so you're bottom. Okay. So Tosis says like this. Let's see what Tosis says as an answer. Haka, chenisko machmas michshu. He was tripped up, something in the way. Lo boy de yoy. He doesn't need to see. Onesu. It's not his fault. The Afa Gavzilla El, even although we said above, Mabim Ones Karatsun, the Ottoman Mazik, that you're chayev to pay, even if it's not your fault, when you're talking about the category of Ottoman Mazik, when better taka better. But Ones Gomo, no Rabbi Rachmana. But if it's a type of onus that's totally not your fault that you couldn't avoid, that is not included in Chizkiah's statement that says you're negligent to pay, that you're chayv to pay in Odom HaMazik. If it's a type of onus which is an onus gomor, then even Chizkiah and the previous Gemara Mishnah would not say you're chayv.
What's an onus?
How do I know? Where's my proof? The Ah Yishalmi Potter Osish Yoshin Rishon in Hizik Nishoni Abar Etzer Yoshin, because Yishalmi says that somebody goes to bed, and when he goes to bed, there's nothing next to him, and comes along his friend and puts down next to the person who's sleeping, he puts down his glasses next to him on his mattress. And as he's sleeping, he turns over and now breaks those glasses. We say he's potter. Why is he potter? Says Tosis. We see that Yishami is telling me he's an Otom HaMazik, and it's not his fault. We see that if it's really an onus gomor, he couldn't avoid it when he went to bed. He didn't. There was no glasses. We see that if it's an onus gomor, there's no chiyuv to pay, even if it's in the category Otom HaMazik. Therefore, we see there's two levels of onus, and therefore when we say you trip in Rosh Hashanah and break his jug, you don't have to pay. The reason why is because it's an onus gomor in such a scenario. Why? It means it's an onus gomor. We don't expect him to look.
What's the difference between an onus and an onus gomor?
Yes, two degrees there.
See, has one determinant. It's done, you know.
What's the difference? What's an example of
an onus? Is something that someone did nothing wrong. It's not even shogeg. It's certainly not pshia. So how do you upgrade that to an onus gomor?
So one way,
right?
Very good. One way is to define it like this. Something you, if you would think about it, could be a scenario. And you could imagine that could have occurred, then that's not called an onus gomor.
Well, I could imagine something
which you have no reason to think could occur, that's called an onus gomor.
Well, somebody could plant their glasses in my bed. Possible.
And somebody could trip in a Shisharabim.
We're not talking about you making up things, pipe dreams in your head. something which you say, yes, yeah, reasonable to think that could occur. Yeah.
Well, then that's not honest. That's like already shogi. Shia.
No, it's not shogi.
A scenario which you could say that could cause me to create a damage.
Can you give us an example?
Yes. I can give you an example. It's windy outside. It's windy. We've got hurricane winds. It's windy, it's blustery. And I go up to the roof, yeah, because I want to fix a few things on my roof. And then suddenly a huge gust of wind comes and makes me fall, and I fall onto somebody's gunner that breaks his chair. Yeah? Yeah. So the actual falling was, I couldn't help myself, I couldn't protect myself. It was an unusual blast of the wind. A ruach sheinu mitzvah at the time. That's called an onus. But it's not an onus gomel. Because you could, it was really windy, and you could imagine that it's ever so often a blusty wind does come around, that's out of you, and therefore, that's something, if you would have thought about it, could have occurred, and therefore it's called an onus, but not an onus gomel. Yeah. As an example of something which is not an onus gomel, but an onus. Okay. So according to Tosis, there's two types. Onus gomel. Now let me relate, therefore, back to our case. Is our case in the category of onus gomel, that Shimon, when he drank this glass and consumed the contact lenses, he's an onus gomel copy, the mazik of the contact lenses, or not in the category of, is it
not, not an onus gomel. Maybe regular onus, maybe shogeg.
Well, again, it depends on the derech. Like the Gemara says, if he's in darkon, so ben yadam is bonim drachon. If it was darkon, then he would be chayiv. So it depends if it's the derech of the guy to leave his glass contact lenses on the table or not.
To leave a cup, to leave something else on the table.
Why? If he never does it, why is it reasonable?
He never does it.
Well, that was the question.
People do.
Me,
nobody in my house does it in my room.
Could have been a cup of water, also could have been a drink. I mean, Bob Duffy, when it's reasonable to leave a cup of lenses, it's reasonable to have a drink on the table. So it's still reasonable to check.
Why would he leave a drink on the table if he's going
just
to sleep?
Just this guy left the drink on the table.
Because he's coming back.
Okay, and the other guy got involved, engrossed in the conversation, he forgot about it.
And if he drank somebody else's drink, is he high for damages?
It should be the same extent.
No!
No?
What's on hogging in the yeshiva is, you drink my drink and you drink my drink.
Ah, okay. Well, depends on kind of yeshiva it is.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
so
Rabbi Yashiv said that this is called an onus gomel.
Wow.
It's dark. He fills out his own glass. Comes back. No reason to suspect that there should be another glass over there. Pumped when he wants to do thing. Doesn't even know Levi's in the room. Yeah. It's all dark. Because Levi's gone to bed in the meantime and is... Levi doesn't do this every night. Periodically, he does this type of system of leaving his contact lenses in that form. And doesn't always put it on the table even when he does it that. So therefore, him consuming the glass, he has no reasonable reason to think that, by doing that, he's now consuming maybe somebody's contact lenses at that stage. And therefore that's called an onus gomel, and therefore you're released from paying according to this.
So it would depend on the frequency which Levi leaves the glass.
Yes, and where he leaves it, yes. Yeah. Now,
does everyone agree with this?
Does everybody agree that the answer to the stira between Daf Chavov and Daf Chazayin is an answer? One's an onus and one's an onus gomel. That's Tosfos' case. The answer is no. Not everybody agrees. Let us look at the Ramban. The Ramban in Daf Bei Beis in Baba Metzia says a different answer. These cases are not Otama Mazik. Included in the category of these cases was this case of tripping up and falling on that jug, and we're saying you're potter, the reason why is because it's not Otama Mazik. Why, says the Ramban? But Bashum, because the Shia Denizik potter behem. Because the one that was one that was damaged was negligent in leaving the jug there. And therefore your potter from pay. Since he was negligent in leaving the jug there, therefore the mazik is potter from pay. Now I want you to mazbit explain to me what is the logic behind this release clause of the Ramban. Ramban says that there's no such thing. Onus Gomor is also chayv. I disagree with Tosis. This Gomor is a different reason why you're released from pay. Here's what you used to pay, not because you're an onus Gomor. Even if you're onus Gomor, you'll be chayv to pay. Why you're released from pay is because there's negligence of the one that was damaged, and therefore you're released from pay. Now, what's the logic why that should be a release clause in the payment of damages in the category of ultimate muzzle?
Because he's the one that's ultimately causing the hezek to happen.
Right, the owner caused the damage, whatever damage would happen.
Okay.
The onus is on the person to protect his
onus
property.
Or onus?
It's on him to protect his property. If he doesn't protect it properly, then...
Mm-hmm. I didn't get the English one.
As far as his chulot, his mevater, and his mevater, he relinquishes.
You say back a mechila?
No,
he loses. He loses.
He loses it.
He loses his
rights by being a poshea. So that right that your things should be protected, you shouldn't have left it there. You leave your something in a place where everybody's walking. You're going to say that he's responsible? No.
But according to Ramban, if someone else put it there, he'd be chayav.
Yes, they could. There's some shogun will put that. Throughout us, finite the definition, which you're all saying come up the same. I'm not going to impose an admin for this. Out of a mazik you're chayav to pay is as when you're the only mazik over here. You're the one who caused. Yeah, you did an action, and that action was what resulted in it being destroyed. But if the nizik, the one who got damaged, is a partner in his own downfall, then he can't totally point the blame on someone else or group of other people. But he himself is in the group which caused his own damage. As soon as he's part of the reason why he got damaged, that means that he wasn't totally somebody else's responsibility, and therefore you can't claim damages and such.
There's no limit for that. You can take it out of self, and you can always find some factor where he could have been shown better.
So no, what defines?
That's not the problem.
What defines?
He was negligent. That's the problem.
What defines why he's a partner in his own damage? What defines it? Like you said, if his negligence was the reason why he himself got damaged, then that means he's a partner in the damage. But if he's not negligent in what he did that caused the damage, yeah, then he's not a partner in his own damage. So let's now relate it to our case. Do you have the release clause of the Ramban? Because the Ramban said, I don't hold to the release clause of the Tosis. And onus Gomor, no such thing. Onus Gomor, your such thing. What's my release? My release is that the Nizik was a partner in his own downfall. What makes it a partner? Negligence. In our case, was Levi a partner in his own downfall that he lost his eye, he lost his contact lenses? He's the cause of losing both contact lenses as well. Was he a partner in that loss or not?
No, not if he's done it before and they're living together all year. But if he goes to a new house or a new dorm and all of a sudden starts putting contacts in cups, which is, I would say, unusual, then maybe he would be part of it. But if this has been his practice all year long, even if it's just once a week, then I don't think it's negligent anymore.
I would say it depends on the other side of the coin. Is it common for people to leave a drink on the table? If it's common for the people in the room to leave a drink on the table, then he is negligent. He should realize that there's a chance that there's another drink on the table and I get mistaken.
He's got all the rights to put his cup on the air.
Right.
I don't think it's going to put the cup on the table.
With contact lenses in it? If it's common? I mean, let me ask you a question. Would you find it negligent to leave your cup with contact lenses on the table if that table happened to be a bar? Now people drink.
I don't think people take other people's drinks generally.
I'm just drawing an extreme here to point out my point. What would you say that was negligent if you left your contact lenses in a cup filled with water on a bar?
But if all the people in the bar are always the same customers,
yeah,
and everybody knows that periodically that
the bartender uses,
this is this guy that does, therefore they're basically saying, you have permission to put it over there as well. What defines being a partner? Negligence. What defines being negligence? The case to Gomorrah. Rishus Rabin. Why is Rishus Rabin negligence?
You know it,
because that's not right, what the Rishus Rabin is meant to be used for.
You put it down as simply, you can't defend Rishus Rabin.
That's not what the Gemara says. It's because it's not normal for people to look at it. That's what it says.
That is not the reason. We'll see what the different shot from the one about why he even said this. But then, at the end of the day, what defines his partner negligence? What defines negligence? Because he should be doing this over here. What defines negligence? That's what's normally done over here. Over here, in our case, no, that's what he does. That periodically he puts his glasses over there. And he didn't see, maybe you could, if he saw there's already a cup full of water there, and he still put his cup next to it, that, like your case, then it would have been there. But it's dark, he didn't even see the cup himself over there. So it's a normal place for him to put his stuff, and he didn't see there's another cup over there, so therefore he wasn't a negligence in his own downfall. As if so, yes, we agree that Shimon was an overscorer for consuming those contact lenses. But the Rambam says, you're chayav on overscorer. It only releases if he's negligent in his own bound. He's not. So according to the Rambam, Shimon would be chayav to pay for those contact lenses. So according to Tosas, overscorer is a release. Shimon's possible. According to the Rambam, we need the negligence. So maybe we don't have that over here. So therefore, Shimon would be chayav. So what's the halacha? Is the halacha like Tosas that there's a clause, Oyuskomo being a release, or the halacha like the Ramban that the release that we need is the negligence of the nizik? What's the halacha? So it says the Shulchan Aruch like this. If you look at number 4, Asa la hazik mamon chaveh. You're not allowed to damage somebody's property. Vim hiziku, and if you do, ava pishen nene. Even though you don't get any benefit by damaging him, chayv the shalem, you have to pay for the damages you cause. Bein shur shogeg, bein shur onus. Whether it was by mistake, or whether it was out of your control, you're still chayv. That's the end of the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't say there's a category of onus gomel. He just says onus, you're also chayav. He doesn't say, and if it's onus gomel, you're bottom. The implication of that, and that's how the Shach learned the Shulchan Aruch, is that the Shulchan Aruch was paskening like the Ramban, that onus gomel, you're chayav. And the only, therefore, the clause that will release you in the Gemara is not onus gomel, no such thing. The only clause would be the negligence of the nizik. In our case, you don't. So therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, seems to pass the light the Ramban, and therefore Shimon would be chayav to pay, because even his own is gomer yochayav according to the Shulchan Aruch. However, if you read the next words, which is the Ramah, Ramah says, "Dafka sheino onus gomer, you only chayav to pay if it's not an onus gomer. But if it's an onus gomer, then you're released, which is like Tosas." So therefore, according to the Shulchan Aruch, we have a machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that there's no release of Odes Gomor. The only release is the Nizik being negligent. We don't have over here. So according to Shulchan Aruch, the Shimon's Chayav to pay for contact lenses. But according to the Ramah, there is a release of being Odes Gomor. And in our case, Shimon was an Odes Gomor in consuming those contact lenses. Therefore, according to the Ramah, you're bottom of paying. So if you go to the Beis Din, which is the Sfati Beis Din, they will pass them that Shimon is Chayav. But here, the Shaila went to Rabbi Yashiv. And Rabbi Yashiv says, we've got the Ramah. The Ramah held the Tosis and the Onus Gomor. It's Potter. So therefore, Shimon is going to be Potter from paying for those contacts.
What would an Ashkenazi Bezdin do if both the Mazik and the Nizik were both Sfati?
The Hanhoga is that we don't look after the who the Bali Dinima. You're coming to me. I have Kladim how I pass him. And therefore, if I'm Ashkenazi, then I'm going to pass him according to my plan. If you go to a Beis Din Sfati, I'm two Ashkenazi go to a Beis Din Sfati, but also there, they pass him according to their plan, which is according to Sfati. It's not totally on the Balei Dinim, but it's totally on the Beis
Din. Even Rav Avadia was like that, even though like he's in his Piskei Tshuva, he would give Ashkenazim and Sfaradim different halakhas?
That's only not in the Choshen Mishpat. That's not comes to the Choshen Mishpat. When it comes to Or HaChaim, it's different.
Why can't someone going to a Sephardi Beis Din say Kimli?
Because in the Ashkenazi Beis Din you can say Kimli. But the Sephardim have also another klal in Hilchas Kimli. You can't say Kimli connected to Shulchan Aruch.
Oh, really?
They have a klal. They have, which is the klal from Doris of the Sephardim Poskim. That you can't say Kimli, they call it. You can't say Kimli connected Maron. So Ashkenazim don't have that. Even if it comes to Ashkenazi Beis Din, even if the Ashkenazi Ramah passes your Chayav, but there's a Shulchan Aruch that says your bottom, Beis Din will say you can say Kimli like the Shulchan Aruch in the Ashkenazi Beis Din. In Ashkenazim you can say Kimli like Ubershitti. In the Sfardi Beis Din you cannot say Kimli, can they get them all wrong?
So in the Beis Din, how would they, what would the Pesach be in a Lichus Ashkenaz Beis Din?
Over here, so he says, sits the Ramah over here, says that Shimon is Potter, because there's a category in the form of a release, therefore, you're Potter, Shimon, you can't find me to pay, because the Ramah says you're Potter.
But then you come and you say Kimli.
Kimli is only to get yourself out of pain. You can't say Kimli to Machayim something to pay.
No, the defendant, the
Shimon is saying I'm Potter. Yes? Why? Because the Ramah says I'm Potter. Very good. Don't need to come to Kimli.
There's no like sock that's gone through that's been feeble after the Shulchan Aruch Ramah. You've got all this game.
No.
Halachas. You still say Kimli.
Yeah. Unless it's Mamish Adas Yochid, that's. Then we'll. That's it. There's rare cases like that. That you can't say Kimli, yes? Unless there's a Mamish and Minag out there that. Chops Alok, which is Minag, is the Basa Alok in certain cases.
What happened when Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yosef were sitting on the same basis?
We had a case like that.
We did.
We did have a case like that. We had a case. You don't remember?
No.
Do Chazor. Akois. in the series of Shirim on Akois, yes?
Akois?
Wherever you can bring somebody back to Beis Din who's already gone to the Beis Mishpat. Or do we give him a knas? My third is Shulchan Aruch Ramah over there. Uh-huh. A case came before the Rav Avadia Yosef and Rav Yashiv. They had like it. Yeah. They were arguing.
Who was the third Dayan?
Sitz Eliezer.
Okay.
Now, that's the first case. Let's move on to the second case. Reuven is walking in the streets, speaking on his telephone.
He's very, that's there up in the other.
There up in the other. He's very engrossed in his conversation. Okay. It's book week.
It's what?
Book week.
Book week?
Book week.
These are books all over the streets. Tables.
Okay. Okay. Shavua Sefer.
Shavua Sefer. Yeah. And there's a farm shop. And they're doing a good mifsa. What's a mifsa? They've got a whole trolley full of books inside that trolley, packed to the top, you know, one of these trolleys which you take to supermarkets, you got all filled up with these books, and he says any book in this cart is 15 shekels. Yes. Now, you can imagine this trolley is a very heavy trolley. The trolley is just off the entrance of the shop. Reuben's walking along, engrossed in this conversation on the phone. And he doesn't see the trolley in front of him. What happens? He walks by and he knocks the trolley. The trolley starts to move. There's a slight incline or decline outside the shop. It now goes down the hill and picks up speed. And it smashes into a parked car, which causes 8,000 shekels worth of damage to the car.
So it's not just the 50 shekels car, more.
No. The shaila is, tonight, when this does, is whether Reuven is chayv to pay for the damages which that trolley caused to the car. He didn't look what he was doing. He knocked the trolley, which caused the trolley to go into the car.
Is that considered Rishus HaRabim where the trolley was?
Hmm?
Is the location where the trolley was considered Rishus HaRabim?
It was considered a place where the shopkeeper has normal rights to use. Mukubal rights to use. Yeah. So now the question is, what type of mazik is it? That's my first question.
Is it a grammar?
What type of mazik is it? Let's say he did it with kavona. That's how the best. Without the known kavona and everything. He did it with kavona. He saw a trolley. He went there. He pushed it so it should go down an incline in order to smash into the car. What type of damage has he done over there?
The
what category?
The horror is grammar.
No, it's not a mazik. It's no different than his speed seam.
Yeah?
What?
It's Adam Amazig. It's like shooting an arrow. It's arrow. The same thing.
Well,
you take an arrow.
It's not shooting an arrow
your
because here's
and you're
the,
aiming
oh, it's not your koach. Here's the force of gravity.
What's. No, he pushed it.
He pushed it, but if it wasn't on an incline, it wouldn't have gone into the car.
Yeah. Okay. So, we'll discuss maybe. When we get to the sugyas of the age, whether gravity is something we reckon as being another force or not. Yeah? But let's assume at this stage.
I mean, if someone stands up on here and drops something on someone's head who's down here,
yeah,
that would be gravity.
Yeah. So therefore,
we would
the pashtus that's called Adam Mazik, and gravity doesn't make it another type of force. Gravity is not considered another force. And it's not considered Eish. It's like Eish of Kitzim, which is called Adam Mazik. Eish of Kitzim. Kitzim, bows and arrows, even although it's not direct, it's through your coat. But that's called also Odom HaMazik. So this gravity was also. So let's in that category of Odom HaMazik. Now, he did it slow but Kavana. He was talking on the phone.
It doesn't really matter, Kavana.
Yeah. What would you think, according to the Kalanim we learned up to now, is he chayv to pay for the damages to that car or not?
Yes.
The person is chayv to watch where he's going. So I would say yes.
Yeah, this might be shogeg more than
I
think it's Kosheya.
Let's figure out according to what we like. The Ramban says, what's the release clause?
Damage the car.
Shia.
Shia
of and the owner.
The owner. And in who case is the owner?
The store.
No, the car. Was the car guy negligent?
Not at all.
So you don't have any release clause according to the Ramban.
Right.
Now, the release clause of Tosfos. Owner Skobel!
It's not owner Skobel.
I don't think he's honest at all.
Owner Skobel! That's the release clause of Tosfos. Do we have that over here?
No.
Now. Why don't we have it over here?
He's a poshe himself.
Why was he poshe?
Because he should have watched where he's going.
I say show.
You want to talk on the phone and shoot them at the same time, fine. But you have to understand, you have to watch where you're chewing.
How does how did the Gemara describe the category of onus gomor lefitosis? What were the words which the Gemara used, which Tosis says is the category of onus
gomor?
Because people don't look where they're going.
But when people, no, not people, people don't look don't where they're going. They're not responding in the derech. They look where they're going. They don't look at the road. They're going.
So therefore,
they don't look at the floor.
Therefore, Reuben says, "I don't come nowhere." Because the Tosis, I'm an onus gomor. Why am I an onus gomor? Ain't darkened. Like you said, it's a minhag to use the phone in such a case.
That was a shusha rabbin.
It doesn't matter.
Only in the middle of the shusha rabbin.
Even if it was the middle of the street, you have to look where he's going in front of his nose. Here I have to look down to see if there's something here. Here I have to, mamish, ignore what's in front of my nose.
Yeah, but that's
so now we're going to define, what does it mean? Ein daka shabnei odom lisbein mitzvah. It means that stung, and he causes damage because he didn't look where he's going. That means it's an onus cause. People don't look where they're going. Or does it more finite, like you're saying? So let's see the Gemara Baba Kama. You look at number 5. Well, we'll come and look based on the base. It says like this: Nafal Nesoto Shah Teres showed to the cotton summa Mahalakalayakai. Somebody dug a hole, a bar, and fell into it a Shah, a bit of a stupid Shah, or a blind, a deaf person. At night time, then it's Chayef. The one who dug the hole is Chayef and damage to the Shah. However, if the shah fell in, Pekeach was a clever shah. It wasn't stupid. And it was daytime, and he fell into the hole, even though he wasn't supposed to dig the hole in the middle of the streets, he's potter from paying for the damages to the shah. He doesn't have to pay for the damages of. Why? Because the shah should look where he's going. It's daytime. He's clever enough. Like, there's a hole in front of him. Why did he go into the hole?
What kind of hole are we talking about here?
Something like a hole in the Shusharabin.
Isn't that a Borbushus Rabin?
Borbushus Rabin. And the Shah falls on it in the daytime. The one who dug the hole does not have to pay because the Shah should look where he's going. It's daytime and he's clever enough not to fall into the hole. Shah looks where he's going. So the Rishonim asked the question, I don't understand. We got a cloud, people don't look where they're going. So why is the Shah different? Why is the Shah different from people? People don't look where they're going. You're saying people don't look where they're going. So a Shah, which has even less dust than a human being, for sure doesn't look where he's going. So why are you saying the Shah, you don't have to pay for damage to the Shah, because the Shah should look where he's going? What do you mean? You've got a cloud in the Gemara before that says people don't look where they're going. For people, human beings, don't look where they're going. Shah, which is an animal, for sure doesn't look where he's going. So you can't say the Shah shouldn't fall in because he should look. You should be chayav to pay for the damage to the Shah. You can't say he should have looked. Human beings don't even look. That's the Rishonim us. So Tosis answers like this. Hatisan lekabon Shah pekeach b'yom potter. I would say Shah. We're saying over here that Odom, a human being, doesn't look where he's going, and the Shah does. Shah is different. Why is the Shah different? Ain't not the matter. By definition, the Shah's eyes are looking always down. If he's looking down, he sees what's on the floor. A human being, boy, they only explain Odom. Therefore, a Shah is supposed to see things on the floor.
How is it shaykh to see
a human being is always looking in front of him. He doesn't see what's on the floor. Since a human being always looks in front of him, therefore a human being, therefore if anything on the front of him in the floor, it's not his fault if he falls over. Because he doesn't look on the floor, he's looking in front. But Shah's eyes is downwards, he's supposed to look where he's going. So therefore the Shah falls into a bar, you don't have to pay because the Shah should have seen the bar. Silly for dummy. A human being is not supposed to see where things on the floor.
So I don't understand, why didn't the Shah see the bar?
Because he was stupid. So not stupid. He's known as a mechanic. He tried to jump in, he saw something, I don't know.
Isn't it tzaddik
tried to be too clever, tried to jump over it, I don't know.
Isn't that tzaddik supposed to keep his eyes on the floor?
So what do we see from Tosas is the gedda of Ein Dato Shabbat Odom Nisbenu Mejochim. What do we see from this Tosas? How is it understanding that clause? He's understanding it. How's he understanding it? That humans see what's in front of them,
but not what's below.
What's below. Yeah. So it's like what you're saying. If it's something small on the floor, that we can say people don't see what's small on the floor. But something's big and obvious, if right in front of him, yeah, he's supposed to see. A galah, small on the floor? This cart, this wagon which he knocks, is small or is big? What do you say?
You.
Big. So there's no release clause about the doses. Now let's see the Shittim Rekabesis. He says a different answer. What's the difference between a man who doesn't look where he's going and the ox which does look? He says like this. Dafke b'nei Adam ein darken le'ayin lefi shehem ba'le machshava. Human beings are so intellectual, we don't expect them to know what that's happening in front of them or see what's going on in front of them, because they're always thinking about intellectual things. They're always thinking involved in their minds. They're always involved in some intelligence. Therefore, since they're involved and gross in some sort of intelligence activity, therefore they're not focused on what's going on in front of them. Therefore they're not high, they're not expected to see what's going on. An animal doesn't have intelligence. Therefore, he's just looking around the whole time. And therefore, he sees what exactly is going on.
Wait a minute. How could being a Baal Machshava be worse than sleeping? I'm chayiv if I'm sleeping. Why should I be chayiv if I'm thinking?
Sleeping when you go to sleep next to someone's feet. You're stupid for sleeping with sex next to someone's glasses. And you fall asleep next to it. So you're chayiv for such a case. Yeah.
Because I'm being pushed there?
Yeah. Okay. So we see from the Rashba, which the Shulchan Aruch is saying, is that the tour of Eidakshim and Yom Yom is not because it's obvious and not obvious. That's not the tour. Tour is that a human being doesn't see what's going on around him because he's always involved in the intellectual activities. If so,
I can apply to both cases.
Even in the case, you have an agalah in front of you. I don't see what's going wrong in my world view over here, because I'm always involved, my intellect.
No.
According to the Rashba,
even absent-minded professors see what's in front of them.
You go, no, always going to be butter.
Even on your belly.
This is because he was engaging in an activity which took him away from something he would have normally seen.
Yes.
So he's causing a distraction.
And
he
no, does. And therefore that's normal for a human being to never be able to see even what's obvious in front of him, because he's always involved in being distracted in intellectual activity. And therefore there's no scoreboard for him to knock anything.
Being distracted in intellectual activity is not by being distracted on a cell phone. Distracting the intellectual activity, I won't see what's on the ground in front of me.
Cell phone's also
but I won't, like he says, I won't walk into
maybe
the wall.
Maybe not be using your intellect.
No, because that's something, but that's not normal. Intellect. It's not normal for people to use a cell phone when they are being distracted to the point that they're going to bump into things.
You're still not supposed to walk in. You're supposed to have enough awareness of where you're going not to walk into people.
So why am I wrong? Why am I wrong? You're trying to say why I'm wrong. Why am I wrong? I'm trying to say, according to Tosafos, it's small, it's big. But according to Rashba, even it's big.
Things you're not expected to see, like a hole, a little hole in the ground, that's one. Things you're supposed to see, things that are standing up in front of you, people are expected when you're walking to be able to not walk into people, not step onto the, you know, babies, and not to walk into carriages with
Okay. All the Rashba's done is given a different reason why a person is more distracted than an animal. He's not saying, therefore, the sky's the limit, doesn't matter what you
want. Okay, you have to understand why is he not saying the sky's the limit, yeah? Let's bring first Uriah and then explain it. So the finally, we'll finish off with this. Baba Tama, Baba Vay Samadat, it says like, Halabal Chobis Rishon Abal Kar Akon. Two people walking. One has a barrel, one has a stick in his hand. Nishwa Chobis Bakura. They got too close to each other, and the barrel got broken by the stick. Chayiv. The one is holding the stick is Chayiv. Why? I ain't darker should be they all done this phone in the talking. I wasn't thinking of that. There was a barrel in front of me. I wasn't taking interest. I was involved in intellectual activity. Therefore, I should not be chayav with my stick breaking his barrel, because it ain't dark for somebody else to look around his surroundings. The answer is, we don't take it to the limits. The Gemara's actual lotion is ein darka shabliyotun lisbonen b'chachim. What's the word lisbonen?
To discern,
to study it, like
to study, to focus, to concentrate, to take in and analyze. Yes, certain situations need analyzing in order to find them and work them out. What's going on? But certain scenarios don't need any analyzing at all. So the Rashba is saying is that if you need analyzing to be able to see the danger, then you're not negligent if you cause damage to that type of thing, because your focus and attention activity can take away from you analyzing. But being focused in intellectual activity doesn't take you away from seeing, it takes you away from being exponent. If the damage you're causing is not because of this bonus, because you didn't see, that's not, there's no release, just kojipa. So therefore, this cart over here didn't need analyzing to work out that it's over there. You just need to see. Even according to the Rashba, the intellectual activity is not a release to say I didn't see. It's only a release to say I didn't see. This bonus didn't analyze. Here, you didn't need to analyze, you just didn't see. Therefore, you're going to still be chayv even according to the Rashba. To say according to Tosis, hold, that small things you'll release, and big things you'll not release. To say according to the Rashba, that's things which need analyzing all this, but things which need seeing, you're not released. Over here, just needs to see, and therefore he didn't, and therefore is negligent, not an onus, gomor, or plow, in knocking down that Avala. And therefore, over here, not only according to the Ramban that holds onus gomor as chayiv, but even according to Tosafot that holds onus gomor as botah, but here, you're not an onus gomor, because you should have seen the Avala, and you didn't, and you're therefore shogeg. The core of the mason, you can even call them by knocking it down, and therefore you're going to be chayav according to everybody in breaking the car.
No, but that's only, I think it's only if he damaged the cart itself. We haven't yet determined if he touches the cart and the cart moves.
Oh, so we're taking on at this stage that gravity doesn't make a difference, and therefore it's as if you push the cart into the car using gravity, and gravity is not another cause. We're deciding that at this stage it's Odom Mazik. Maybe we'll have a different analytic approach to gravity later on when we do hill physics. Okay. We'll see, yes? Okay, Mr. Shem, have a good Shabbos.
Yeah.